Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Yo, welcome into the House of L podcast. I am Lawrence Holmes, and we are talking about the Bears winning their game against the Panthers. 23-16 is a final. It moves your Chicago Bears to 5-1 on the season. That's it right there, right? That's the thing that's most important. By the way, we are brought to you by Mazda of Orland Park, ZoomZoomNation.com. We love them. We are also brought to you by the fine folks over at Homeside Financial. Team Hochberg. You know what I'm saying? If you are buying a house or if you are trying to refinance a house, David Hochberg is the guy that you want to call. The reason why is because he will run through a wall for you to help get done what you need to get done. So go ahead and call him. 855-56-DAVID is the way that you can do it. You could also just check out the website. If you're like, hey, I want to see what's going on. 56David.com is the way that you can do that. Homeside Financial is an equal housing lender. NMLS number 1124061. I said this on my recap that I do for The Score, and I'll say it to you. The most important thing is that the Bears won. Why? Because winning buys time. You've heard me say that for the last few weeks, and I'm sure you're probably getting annoyed with it. Winning buys time. I am stuck with this question, and I don't ordinarily do this on the postgame pod, but I threw something out there, and I imagine I'll probably talk about it a little bit on the radio show too. Here's where I'm stuck. I look at the Bears winning these one-score games, these one-possession games, and I go, that's impressive. Them being able to win one possession games is the mark of a good team. That we should give them credit for the fact that they're not losing these one possession games. On the other hand, I go, if you're in so many of these one possession games and you have an opportunity to close the door on another team, why aren't you closing the door? What's keeping you from closing the door? Now, I think what we're seeing is that that offense is still not good. They use short fields today to score points. Again, good teams do that. Good teams take turnovers from the other team and turn them into touchdowns. That's a very good thing to have happen. But in the end, when you're saying, all right, if you score a touchdown instead of a field goal, you have the opportunity to end the game right there. And they didn't. And then you end up getting a pass interference call and all sorts of other stuff. And the Panthers are right there in the game. So which is it? Is it the mark of a good team that they're winning these? Or is it the mark of something bad that you're seeing this team struggle to hold on to these games? Let me read a couple of your comments. By the way, you can follow me at Lawrence W. Holmes. That's my Twitter and Instagram. You know what I noticed about me on Instagram lately? I don't really post to Instagram anymore. I kind of just post to Instagram stories. I don't know what that means. I just know that that's what my habit has been of late. I'm also really happy today because I figured out I finally got my microphone arm, so I don't have to mess with the microphone anymore. It's a lot more comfortable with the setup that I've put together in the office. So I feel great. I'm still looking forward to listening back because I'm worried about the sound quality because of the way that the room is configured. But I can use my hands now. I'm hands-free. Maybe next week I'll do the post-game on Twitch. What do you think? Along with doing the podcast, if you're on Twitch, like, I'll just do it. Anyway, here are some of your responses when I threw this out on Twitter. This from Mary. This always seems to happen. Offense sputters out. Bears let the opposing team hang around. This from Pete. It has seemed like an eternity since both sides of the ball are good at the same time. This is the most frustrating 4-1 team to watch. Drew says, I think it's more of the latter, but I'm more than willing to hang on to the edge of my seat as victories continue to pile up in this manner. I think that that's probably the right way to view this. They're still winning the games. I did a show with my friend Josina Anderson, who has started up a new venture. And I was on there and we were talking about the Bears and she seemed confused when I was telling her that the Bears are a very frustrating team to watch. And she's like, how is that the case when they're 4-1, now 5-1? And I was explaining how if you listen to Bears fans during the game or after the game, they're upset. And I understand why they're upset. I get why you're upset because you're expecting your team to finish these games. You were sold a bill of goods by the Bears. You were sold that the guy that they were bringing in would do two things. One, he would make the quarterback that you drafted as your franchise quarterback better. Two, in doing so, and even if they couldn't make that guy better, he'd make the offense better. Neither one of those things has happened. When you look at Matt Nagy overall as a head coach, there are a lot of good things about him, and we talk about it all the time. And now, like, it's so – here's been the fun part of working in sports media in Chicago. Now the goalposts have changed where we're not judging Matt Nagy on the things that he was brought in here to do. We're judging him on all of the other stuff. Well, you know, he's a good coach and the team never quits on him. Those are all accurate. I think that he's done a good job as head coach. I don't think that he's done the thing that people that brought him in asked to do. The Trubisky thing is easily a failure, and that might be more on Mitch than it is on Nagy, but are you sure? Are you sure about that? I mean, I'm pretty sure. But when you see that Nick Foles makes some of the same plays that you saw Mitchell Trubisky make, you have to question it. In today's game, when you're looking at Foles, you're going, he was okay, I guess. And he wasn't even really that. Let me give you the numbers on Nick Foles today. 23 of 39, 198 yards. He threw the ball almost 40 times. The number that you want per attempt is 8 yards. That's nowhere near 8 yards. Not good. One touchdown, one interception, passer rating of 70.2. I will say that there were a couple plays that I thought were really good from him. There was a play where he gets pushed out to the right and Komet is covered. But Foles strings out the play long enough to get Komet open and they pick up a nice chunk of yardage. Speaking of Cole Komet, congratulations to him. He ends up with his first touchdown of the season, which is great to see because he's kind of been a forgotten man. But again, wasn't that a third down play when your defense sets you up perfectly? Now, they got it right. They got the touchdown. But they had to go a long way to get some of that stuff done. And let's also talk about the fact that this team somehow had a timeout and got a delay after a timeout. And then on defense, this was the funnier thing to me. them falling for the banana in the tailpipe. We're not going to fall for the banana in the tailpipe. You think I could use that without the express written consent of Beverly Hills Cop? Let me see. I'm going to put it in, and then hopefully it won't get flagged.
We're not going to fall for a banana in the tailpipe.
You're not going to fall for the banana in the tailpipe?
It should be more natural, brother. It should flow out like this. Look, man, I ain't falling for no banana in my tailpipe. See, that's more natural for us. You've been hanging out with this dude too long.
It was clear that Teddy Bridgewater was just doing that thing where I'm going to act all crazy at the line of scrimmage and guys are going to go in motion. And then I'm going to hard count you. And when I hard count you, you're going to jump offside.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And everyone knew what was getting ready to happen before the timeout. And then after the timeout, the Bears fall for the banana in the tailpipe. Those are things that are really frustrating. And Matt Nagy kept talking about all this week. Now, I know I was on vacation, but I was still paying a little bit of attention about got to get the details right. And yet those are the things that in year three, if we are going to judge Matt Nagy, the head coach, then let's make sure that we give a clear picture. That in year three, we've already had him talk about how last year they thought things were going to be easy because of what had happened in 2018 and guys let off the gas. That this year, he's already had to yell at everybody for them not sticking to details. And that goes with him not being able to do the things that he was supposed to come in here and do, which is make Mitchell Trubisky a franchise quarterback and fix the offense. So let's tell the whole picture. If you follow the money has been on the defense's side. And the defense is making plays. Man, the defense was so good today. Watching those guys get after Teddy Bridgewater. Sneaky fast, Teddy Bridgewater. Bridgewater had 8 carries for 48 yards today. He's been running a little bit more than he usually does. I like throwing that around saying sneaky athletic because it's not something that you usually associate with black quarterbacks. That's why it's funny. Get it? Usually you have that for your Taysom Hills, who's not sneaky athletic at all. He's athletic. Teddy's not. Teddy wasn't even before he got injured. He was always sneaky athletic. Anyway, he ran the ball. He wasn't very good today either. He had that one great throw down the sideline, and then he had the throw on the PI call was actually a pretty good throw too. The officials had a rough day, and I know that people, Jalen definitely locked that receiver's arm. In fact, his coach showed him what he did when he came to the sideline. Go back and look. His coach was like, this is what you did. You armbarred and you locked him up. They're going to call that if they see it clearly. It's a weird thing because I think that it was a great defensive play and also a penalty. And that's a hard fence to sit on if you're me. Any hoozle. Allen Robinson today, 5 catches on 9 targets for 53 yards. They spread the ball around, but in the end, it was still only 198 yards. And let's talk about the run game, shall we? David Montgomery breaks a lot of tackles. It's not easy to get him down one-on-one. But 19 carries for 58 yards. Their offensive line, and I thought Rashad Coward had a really rough day today. Now that he's in there, and I don't know if that means we're going to see more Alex Bars or what. But their run blocking has not been good. And I know that it's a combination of personnel, and I know that it's a combination of that plus play calling. And most people don't want to focus in on the personnel, because then that goes straight up to the general manager continuing to do some of this experimental stuff. And some of the guys they have are not, I wouldn't classify them as bad. Like, I don't think that Charles Leno is bad and Bobby Massey is bad. I just don't think that they're good. I guess that probably makes them bad. You know what I mean. I think that they gave extensions to players who were just okay. And because of that, it's hamstrung them to get players who might be better. It's a lot to think of. I know that this sounds like a Debbie Downer episode of the podcast after the Bears won. I'm just trying to reflect some of the things that I saw in talking with you. You should by all means celebrate this. This team's 5-1, man. They're 4 wins away from being a playoff team, I think. Can they get to it? I'm not sure. And then once they get into the playoffs, whatever version of playoffs we are going to see in the NFL this year, how confident do you feel that they can win? I don't know if I feel very confident about it. Let's look on the defensive side, because we honestly should be talking more about the defense. How about it? 2 linebackers had the most tackles today. Roquan Smith was everywhere. I'm so excited to watch this again, because I want to just focus on 58 and 59. Roquan Smith had 12 tackles in this game. Danny Trevathan had 10. Tashawn Gibson has been good. I thought that he would just be okay. He's been good. He gets a friendly deflection, turns it into an interception. I even thought Buster Skrine played well, and I know that people are going to get mad. Like, he ended up getting beat on a really well-thrown ball by Teddy Bridgewater. But they did their job. Then you start looking at the sacks. It's weird because James Vaughters and Barkevious Mingo are kind of doing what you hoped Robert Quinn would do. And let me give some credit again to Chuck Pagano, who I thought last week had a really good game. I think he had another good game in the way that he called the defense. The way that he blitzed what he chose to blitz. How he brought pressure, I thought, was really good. Another sack for Khalil Mack. Man, that guy is so fun to watch. And Bilal Nichols has done a great job today. He also had a sack for the Bears. So we're all stuck here, man. We're all stuck here going, are these guys good or not? But when you're 5-1, you get to buy yourself some time. Like, that's a big deal, that you buy yourself enough time that you can straighten some of this stuff out. At least you hope that you can straighten some of this stuff out. Now, you heard me earlier talking about the schedule and what's going on with the schedule and how tough things could be for the Bears at the end of this whole thing. That's why you gotta stack these wins as much as you can, because the schedule is not kind. I'll give it to you in a second. Just want to let you know that this podcast is being brought to you by the fine folks, Mazda of Orland Park, ZoomZoomNation.com, and by David Hochberg. You should hit up David Hochberg, and you should help him help you get a home. This is key. Call him at 855-56-DAVID or go to the website 56david.com. Homeside Financial is an equal housing lender. NMLS number 1124061. This is what the Bears schedule looks like from here on out. We won't go too far down the list, but they get the Rams next week on Monday Night Football. Then they have a late game against the Saints. I don't know what to make of the Saints either, to tell you the truth. Then they get the Titans. That's not fun. They do get the Vikings, and the Vikings suck out loud. They're terrible. They gave Kirk Cousins $84 million guaranteed. But then after that, you get the Packers. And then things lighten up because it's Lions, Texans, Vikings, Jaguars, and then you end the season with the Packers. But that four-game stretch in there is not fun. And it could expose some flaws that this team has. But as I said at the beginning of the pod, winning buys you time. So your Bears have time. They've got time. So that's it, man. It was good to hang out with you on the podcast. I'm excited to get back to work. I had some stuff going on, so I needed to take a little time off. And now I get to do the show, and I'm really excited about the show over the next few weeks because the Bears are a winning team, and they're good? Question mark? I don't know. But I do thank you for your patronage. Thanks so much for your support of House of L. It really means a lot. We've had two incredible months. I'm excited. We're going to hit like a million downloads faster than I thought, which is really, really great. I appreciate your support. I will talk to you next time. Peace.
Protect your dream home with American Family Insurance. And you can weather any storm. You'll also save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote. Find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.